Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Today's guest is John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle, but before we get to that conversation that we had earlier on Memorial Day, I want to talk about what happened during the game today between the Washington Nationals and the San Francisco Giants, and Hunter Strickland drilling Bryce Harper, and Harper charging the mound, coming after Strickland. They got into a fist fight. Didn't last too long, but there are a number of issues with this brawl that I wanted to get to. Let's start with, first of all, Hunter Strickland definitely threw at Bryce Harper, and it definitely has to do with what happened 3 years ago when Harper hit a couple of home runs against him, and one of them, he stood there and watched the home run, and that definitely was the wrong thing to do, but you still don't throw at a hitter, especially 3 years later. So this was a knucklehead move by Hunter Strickland, no doubt about it. And he's not a knucklehead guy. I mean, I've talked to him before, and you know, he seems like a nice enough guy, and he's improved a lot as a pitcher this year. But to use this opportunity in a 2-0 game to put a runner on base and risk injury for not only yourself, but a lot of your teammates that are trying to break it up, it really made no sense. I mean, I totally understand Bryce Harper charging the mound. I mean, who wouldn't? It was so obvious that he threw it at him, and you're in danger with a fastball being 95, 98, whatever it was, miles an hour that came in at him, that you're going to be upset, and you're probably going to want to charge a guy if he's throwing a baseball at you. So I don't blame Bryce Harper so much for that. I do go back and blame him 3 years ago for standing there and watch the home run, because then, you know, you watch that home run, and you're kind of inviting danger down the road. But this was so many years later, so it really was silly on the part of Strickland. Now, he gets ejected from the game. That part I almost don't understand, because how do you prove that he was throwing at him? I mean, it was pretty obvious that he was, but I don't know that you eject him from the game. I mean, I know there was the fight, but he was defending himself. And I also don't know about suspending Strickland. There was no warning issued beforehand. He threw the ball inside. I mean, it looks pretty obvious that he threw it at him, but you can't prove it. And he's saying that he was just trying to work him inside. So that's my thinking on that. Now, as far as Buster Posey, and I know there's been a lot of talk about him and a lot of Twitter response, I understand completely why he wouldn't join that fray. I actually think it was really smart on his part. Some people think, you know, maybe he didn't support his teammate there, but I think as soon as that pitch was thrown and it hit Harper, you could tell that Posey was not in favor of this drilling. I mean, he just stood there very disappointed in a way, just his posture. It wasn't like he was going to go out and tackle Harper and get involved in this, because he didn't approve of it. He didn't want a base runner in that situation in a 2-0 game. It seemed like just a personal vendetta, Strickland against Harper. And the thing that came out about that later with Bruce Bochy saying that, you know, that's not the way we do things. I mean, that was obvious to me that he knows that Strickland threw at Harper, and he doesn't agree with it either. So it just seemed like it was a one person vendetta, as I said, and I don't blame Posey at all, and I also don't blame Giants teammates for trying to help out Strickland there and getting him off the field. They did a great job, but you can get hurt pretty easily. I mean, we saw Michael Morse and Jeff Samardzija collide with each other. They hit their heads together, and it's very dangerous out there, so I understand why Posey wouldn't get involved. It wasn't his fight to have. He's already had a situation where he's had a broken leg several years back, and he already was on the concussion DL earlier this year. Why risk that? I mean, I could understand if it's a team-wide issue and there have been beanings left and right and back and forth. That was not the case here. This is one pitcher trying to get back at a hitter. And I'm not saying you don't support him at all, but I mean, for Posey to just dive in there and risk injury, I think that would have been really stupid. All right, coming up, we'll hear from John Shea. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Now it's time for the conversation I had earlier on Memorial Day with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. Well, John, a lot of people don't look at the standings until Memorial Day, and as we speak here, it is Memorial Day, and so far for the Giants, it's not pretty when you look at the standings because they're closer to last place than they are to first place. They've got teams in front of them that have played really well. I mean, the Rockies have the best record in the National League. The Dodgers are starting to really play well. Arizona is hanging in there, 10 games above 500, and the Giants are just sitting there playing a little bit better, the three games at Wrigley Field notwithstanding, so maybe they could feel a little better about themselves, and a long way to go, but it's such a tough hill to climb, isn't it, right now?
Right, and they're in a division where two teams were not expected to be where they are Memorial Day. That's Colorado and Arizona. Didn't everybody think it was going to be Giants-Dodgers at this point?
Right.
And into June and into July, August, September, it just didn't seem like the other teams had what it, took to be this good. Certainly not the Diamondbacks or Rockies. And the Rockies are having great pitching, and the Diamondbacks are doing well. Bud Black in Colorado is making believers out of these young pitchers. It's really unbelievable. And the Giants are starting the Washington series 11 games out of first place. And they opened up the Braves series, before winning the two games against Atlanta, they were 10 games under 500. Now it's eight heading into the Washington series, but it's not a good thing. And they have to decide, what do we do with this roster in terms of building up for any kind of pennant chase, if they believe that's possible, or actually maybe going backwards and making a trade to look toward next year.
Right. I guess they feel like they have still plenty of time for that. A lot of teams don't make that decision until July. But one decision, John, that I think is sitting there for them to make right away is what to do about Christian Arroyo. Because, I mean, some people think it's just a foregone conclusion. Okay, he looked pretty good early on. He just stays on the team the rest of the way. You know, you handed them the keys to third base, and that's it. I'm not in that camp. I think that he gets demoted. That's just what I would do, because I think that when you have a player that's that young, that's struggling, and you have a team that thinks it's in contention anyway, I don't think he's going to help anything. You know, the 0 for 21, he's trying to work his way through it. Let him work his way through it in the minors. And I actually think Arroyo is the kind of kid who could handle that. He could handle being sent down, working on some things, maybe even only for a couple of weeks, get called back up. I mean, because I don't think being a utility player at all is the answer, because he won't get his regular at-bats. And if you just keep throwing him out there and he keeps struggling, it's only going to get worse. What do you think? What's your opinion on that?
Well, I agree that you don't make him a utility player. I disagree with your logic that putting him in AAA is a better situation. I would say play him at one position regardless. If Crawford is off a day, don't put him at short. If Panic is off a day, don't put him at second. Keep him at third. Let him figure it out. Let him grind over the next few weeks. He's 0 for 21. That's awful, okay?
Yeah.
But he's not going to be 0 for 42. He's too good. What did Yogi say? Baseball is 90% mental and the other half is physical?
Right.
That's what he's dealing with, the mental part of this, obviously. He's got the physical capabilities. Now, he's a ball player. He can help you when he's not hitting. The Warriors are going strong now. You can compare him to Klay Thompson, who can help you when he's not scoring. Thompson defends and runs well and passes. Arroyo can defend, and he can hit situationally. In other words, he goes the other way, he gets sacrifice flies. He's got a good baseball IQ. But I don't think going to AAA will do him much good, and I don't think it'll do the Giants much good. I mean, they're a team that needs young energy. They're an older team now. I mean, there's no way around it. You look around the diamond and there are a lot of 30-somethings who have been there and done that. And having a 21-year-old kid, he turns 22 this week, with high energy and a high upside, is a good thing, not a bad thing.
Well, I guess the biggest problem with my theory is that if you do send him down to AAA, and let's say you put Nunez at third, Nunez has been pretty good this year, but you still have the problem of nobody else is hitting. I mean, there's a bunch of guys that are on this roster that aren't hitting, so you're really not solving the problem. It just seems like there's this big issue, John, that they haven't found enough outfielders that can hit, and they're never going to go anywhere if they can't figure it out. And, you know, the whole offense really has struggled at times. There have been some guys that have been hot. You know, Posey started great, but he has struggled even, you know, lately.
Yeah, and I trust Arroyo every day more than the two or three guys who might play instead of him if he's down in AAA. And you're right, that weakens the outfielder even further if Arroyo, who's gone on hot streaks this year, if you take him out of left field and put him at third base every day. Arroyo sat out the last couple of Braves games to get his head straight. Bruce Bochy kind of wanted him to take a breather, step back, and work on a couple of mechanical things and situational things and things that, you know, he might mentally bring to the plate in this Washington series. So I think you just have to be patient. I mean, a lot of players from Willie Mays to Matt Williams struggled early on. I'm not comparing this guy to either one of those, but it just goes to show that even the very good or even the very great players have started slowly. It's an adjustment. This kid started pretty quick, you know, a couple of early home runs, and he's getting big hits. And he's you know, I mentioned he's a ball player. He tends to do something big every game, even if he doesn't get that big hit. When he does get the big hit, it sometimes leads to wins. But, you know, he'll make a real nice defensive play or two, and where he'll move a runner over, you know, he won't get a hit, but like I said, he could drive in a guy with a ground ball or a fly ball. So it seems like for a team that's struggling, it, you know, just wouldn't hurt to have a guy like him. I mean, you mentioned other people. Sure, if other people were doing their job, then his struggles wouldn't be so magnified, just like Clay Thompson's hitting struggle, shooting struggles aren't magnified because everybody else on the Warriors is playing great. How's that for a comparison?
That's a good comparison. You know, and what you're talking about as far as, you know, slumping and other players doing it, it's still, when I think about if I failed at my job for a couple of weeks, it would drive me crazy. I don't know how baseball players do it, but they do, and it's happened through history, like you said. And I think for Christian, it helps that I know Will Clark was talking to him, and Clark, you know, he has relayed some stories about he had his struggles. Everybody does. Do you think that helps that he has a guy right there who's been a superstar player that did struggle and is trying to relate that to Christian?
Yeah, and it's not like he's there every day harping on the negative. You know, Will comes and goes, and it was Arroyo who, at the end of the Braves series, summoned Will to the batting cage to go over some things. It's not like Will is pressing his great career on the kid. You know, here's what I did, just emulate me. It's not that at all. It's that Will is seeing a kid struggling who has somewhat of a short stroke. It's not long and windy and all these different moving parts. It's more simple. And Will said the simpler, the better, and the easier to fix. So I think it's a great opportunity for him to listen and learn and to move on from these struggles.
We'll have more with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle right after this.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I guess they should have hired me for that TV commercial. No, I don't think so. But seriously, in San Francisco, it's really true. In fact, AT&T Park has a good neighbor right around the corner. That's right, Sandy Lee State Farm is a Buster Posey home run away from AT&T Park at 188 South Park Street on the corner of 3rd Street. Sandy Lee has been my State Farm agent for 10 years, and I have to tell you, when I've made claims, Sandy Lee gave me peace of mind, which is what we all need when it comes to insurance. Whether it's car, home, or even earthquake insurance, Sandy Lee and her team are down-to-earth, devoted, and understanding. They take control of any situation, and you never feel like you're being sold something. Give Sandy Lee, State Farm, a call at 415-227-9833. That's 415-227-9833 for Sandy Lee, State Farm.
Meanwhile, Michael Morse continues to struggle. Now, he doesn't play every day, and you keep hoping for that one big shot, that home run. But, you know, he hit that against the Dodgers. That's been it. He's had that one dramatic moment. I don't know if he's just taken up a roster spot there. But it's not just him. I mean, it's hard to point at one guy like we were talking about. I just wonder, what's wrong with this offense? What's happening to players that normally produce are just not doing it?
Well, I think the offense won't be on all cylinders until Hunter Pence not only gets back from the disabled list, but produces like he used to. And he's starting his rehab assignment this week. The team was built with Pence in mind, with Pence in the middle of that lineup, with Pence delivering big hits on a daily or weekly basis. You know, he used to play 162 games. Those days are long gone. That ship has sailed, but he can still be an effective player, and, you know, 5-6 times a week. It doesn't have to be 7 times a week. And that's what the Giants desperately need. And they haven't had him lately. And until he gets back, I don't think you're going to see a major upgrade on the offensive side. They're not a team that'll hit you a lot of home runs, though they had, 26 in May going into the Washington series, and I think it was 10 more than they had in April. So, I mean, Buster Posey was a big reason because he hit a lot more home runs in May than he did in April. But you look at Buster Posey, 11 RBIs with 7 home runs. That's an unusual thing. Very strange, right?
But it is.
I asked Bruce Bochy the other day, why does he have so few RBIs? And Bochy talked about opportunities. He talked about pitches to hit. It was a day after Posey got walked intentionally with runners at second and third. But more than any of that, he's hitting .222 with runners in scoring position. I mean, that just can't happen for someone batting .333 on the season, who has been in the high 300s for much of the season. So I think, you know, he has to play a bigger part driving in runs. They say RBIs are not an important stat. Well, they are if you only have 11. And I think, you know, more than that, though, obviously the Giants have been haunted without a left fielder. Jarrett Parker might have been the guy. Maybe this wouldn't have been a major problem if he didn't make that catch crashing against the wall, breaking his clavicle. He's supposed to begin a rehab assignment this week. Maybe in 2 weeks when he's due back mid-June, June 16th, I think he comes off the DL. Maybe that's a jolt they need because he had a pretty good spring. And a left-handed batter, it was almost as if he was due to have some kind of breakout season to some degree. And when he went down and Mack Williamson went down, I mean, those were the two guys, right, in spring training.
Right.
I mean, and they really had nobody else to fill in. So maybe Posey gets his run-producing act together and Parker comes back in mid-June and Pence comes back. It's a different situation. But it's still a long shot that these Giants are going to climb the standings and do anything in August and September, it seems.
More of our Monday morning conversation with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle in just a moment. Do you want to go to the perfect restaurant and bakery before a Giants game? Why not go to the place where Matt Cain ate before he threw his perfect game? That's Townsend Restaurant and Bakery. It's true, I'm not making this up. On June the 13th, 2012, Matt Cain had a great meal at Townsend, then took the mound down the road at AT&T Park and tossed the first perfect game in Giants history. Your meal can be just as effective after you choose one of their homemade sourdough English muffins, scones, and breads. Townsend also serves cage-free Petaluma eggs. For 26 years, Townsend has been capturing the spirit of San Francisco with consistent quality from their family-run business. Serving breakfast and lunch Tuesday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 2 p.m., and brunch on Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., Townsend is located right along the Embarcadero at 2 Townsend Street in San Francisco. Eat at Townsend Restaurant and Bakery, and who knows, perhaps you can be perfect that day too. Well, this is a tough series here against the Washington Nationals because of the firepower they have in their lineup, starting with Ryan Zimmerman hitting at 365 coming into the series. And Bryce Harper is back to being Bryce Harper again. And, you know, Murphy has always been a good hitter. Rendon. They got all these guys that are hitting. It's going to be tough to slow them down, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right. Well, the good thing is Harper has slowed down a little bit in the last couple of weeks, hitting, what, 186. But you're right, Zimmerman, and really that doesn't mean anything for Bryce Harper. He could come in here and hit 986 in these games. But, Murphy has missed some starts recently. He's expected to be in San Francisco in the lineup. Zimmerman hitting a ton. But it's just not that. It's the pitching. I mean, the matchups are maybe in Washington's favor. I mean, they have Rourke and Gonzalez and Scherzer. And, you know, anytime you have Scherzer anywhere in the series, it's a struggle. So the bullpen has been really good, too. Joe Ross had an abbreviated start over the weekend, and bullpen had to pick up. And, you know, it'll be nice that Dusty Baker is going to be in town. He has an extended stay in the Bay Area. Not only was he in the Sacramento area for his son's graduation, you do remember Darren Baker, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
and the three games against the Giants. But after the three games against the Giants, he's going fishing Thursday, and the Nationals play at the Coliseum Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So it's really worked out perfectly for Mr. Baker.
That's part one of our conversation with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. Part two coming up on Wednesday. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.